morning, Brother Tony inviting us to come, and we appreciate the confidence that he would have in us to have us to do that. And now, this morning, if you can be seated if you'd like, and I'm going to try to maybe sing a song this morning. I want to sing a song that says, "Mercy walked in." That's it. We can get the right key. I think I can do that in the same key that's done
on the CD.
I don't remember either. I just know when it's right. I stood in the courtroom. The judge looked my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I said, "Your Honor, I have no defense." But that's when mercy walked in. When mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God save me grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there in silence. How could it be that someone so guilty had just been set free? Broken, I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in, oh, when mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Oh, when mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God save me grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Aren't you glad that mercy walked in? Amen. Just about the time it looked like we could plead guilty, mercy walked in and said, "No, the blood of Jesus Christ covers this one, because this one belongs to me."
Amen.
And therefore, I'm going to plead the case. Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that this morning? Do you want to stand? Before we approach the word this morning, let's talk to the author of the words a little bit. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning for your love and your mercy upon us. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to get up this morning. You gave us the strength and the wherewithal to make ourselves ready to come to this little place this morning. Lord, where this little group meets, Lord, and realizing, Lord, that you have something for us this morning. We believe that, and We just ask you to help us this morning to step out of the way, Lord, that you might preach. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, if you want to turn in this morning to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, I'm going to read a very familiar scripture. You guys could probably all quote this one, but this is what we feel in our heart to do. And it's a simple scripture, but it says Isaiah 9 and 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." May the Lord bless the reader's word as you take your seats. This morning, I want to take a thought on it. For unto us a child is born. And this had been just a couple weeks ago when we brought out this subject at our home church. And it was my Christmas message, you might say. It was right before Christmas. And this is what that we felt upon our heart. And as we were thinking about coming up here preaching, and I believe the Lord laid on our heart to preach this message here. And I believe it was supposed to be for today, and you'll understand that by the time we get to the end of the service, I'm sure. But I really felt like today was the day, and so Brother Tony had been talking. He said, "Whenever you feel led to come up and preach for us, would you just let us know whatever day you..." And so this is what... So we called and confirmed this, and so I trust in some way that there's something special for someone this morning that God is trying to speak to hearts this morning. "For unto us a child is born." It's a simple scripture, but it's there in Isaiah, and we know that he was speaking, Isaiah was speaking of Christ. Is that true?
Right.
We know that he had already told us in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, that "Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel." But the Bible tells us that, and we realize that there on that day, we don't believe it was Christmas Day.
Right.
We don't believe it was December the 25th.
Right.
But on that particular day, whatever day it was, we know that he was born.
Yeah.
We know that for a fact, and we know that a virgin conceived, and she called his name Emmanuel. Of course, she called his name Jesus. That's what the angels told her. That's what the angels said for her to name him. And so we realize that that's why, but the name Emmanuel is being interpreted as God with us.
Yeah.
And we realize that God then was then on earth in human form with us that day, from that day forward.
Amen.
Now we want to talk about this, but I want to bring out a few things on this that trust in some way that maybe you probably already all know these things, and be honest with you, this is kindergarten to most believers, okay? But this is what we feel in our heart to bring. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," and then it says, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder."
Right.
So what does that mean, "the government shall be upon his shoulder"? Well, there's another scripture then in Isaiah 22 that I want to read right quick that'll go along with this. And then I'm going to read a quote what the prophet God said about it. Okay? Isaiah 22:22 says this, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open." You say, well, how does that tie up with Isaiah 9:6? Well, we'll find out. Let's see what the prophet God says. As I took the liberty of pulling that up on my handy dandy smartphone, that sometimes is smarter than I am. But let's see. Here we go. Now, this was actually... in the church ages, The Philadelphia church age is where this actually was. And it says this. He said, the prophet of God said this. Now it says in Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. The Spirit uses this Old Testament reference concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry in the church. What the key of David signified at that time is mere shadow, which is now fulfilled in Jesus standing in the midst of the lampstands. It has to do with our Lord after his resurrection and not his earthly pilgrimage. But what does the key signify? The answer lies in the position of the key. It is not in his hand. It is not worn around his neck. It is not placed in the hands of other men, or the verse could not be saying that he alone has the use of that key. For he alone opens and shuts, and no man has the right but Jesus himself. Isn't that right? But where is the key? It is on his shoulder. But what does shoulder have to do with it? Read Isaiah 9:6, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. But what does this mean? The answer is this. The phrase government upon his shoulder comes from the wedding ceremony of the East. When the bride has been committed to the groom, she takes off her veil and places it over the groom's shoulders, signifying that not only is she under his dominion, that she has transferred her rights to him, that he is the head, but also that he bears the responsibility and the care, and he alone, no one else, no other man, nor other power, has any right and responsibility. Excuse me. And that, beloved, is the key of David. God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be in his bride. He chose her. She did not choose him. He called her. She did not come on her own. He died for her. He washed her in his own blood. He paid the price for her. She belongs to him and to him alone. She is wholly committed to him, and he accepts the obligation. He is her head. For Christ is the head of his church. As Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy that he is her Lord. He speaks and she obeys, for that is her delight. Excuse me. Well, there you are. The government shall be upon his shoulder. She, as she has placed her headship upon him, Christ is the head of the church.
Right.
Now, I was thinking about this, and you know, there in this day and time, you might say, well, that's an awful male chauvinist thing to say, that a bride might actually turn her headship over to her husband. But that is the scriptural way to do it.
Right.
Remember what the scripture tells us, what Paul tells us? I believe it's in Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken. What did he say? He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband.
That's right.
And I was just thinking about that. I remember one time talking to a woman, and she said, I'll never submit myself to a man. And I'm thinking, you'll never go to rapture either.
Right.
Because there's something about we've got to take the whole scripture.
Right.
And you know, the thing about it is, it's not a male chauvinist thing like people think it is.
No.
The world today's got that all backwards. They think that, and that's why you see so many perverted women trying to run things.
Yeah.
And I ain't got anything against women, don't get me wrong. But the thing that is, we all have our place. And if the man's in his place correctly, then the woman shouldn't have no problem getting in her place.
That's right.
The problem is, the reason why women are out of their place is because men are out of their place. Well, I know that it's tough. Sometimes that's tough. But I want you to know that's not a thing. What happens is, over years, times pass, I have noticed this, and growing up, that what happened was the men got to thinking that as the way it's supposed to be, and they got to using their wives for doormats.
Yep.
That ain't the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
She's not your doormat, brother. She's your queen.
Right.
How do you treat a queen? You treat her good.
Right.
She's the queen. Your wife is your queen. Yeah. And I had to learn that the hard way. You know, the wife and I have been married 36 years. And we started out, and my doggies, I wasn't going to be him, Pat. Now, I'll tell you that right now. So just a mere suggestion by her would get a real good tongue lashing from me, see. But I think over the years we've got to learn to get along, and she has an opinion, and I have mine, and not to say we don't ever disagree, we do. But the thing of it is, she's not something that you walk on.
No.
Woman do this, woman do that. But she's your queen. And that's the way it's supposed to be. See, and I'm going to bring one more point out of it before I go on. Is that when God put Adam to sleep, where did he take her from? From his side.
Right.
Not from his feet, that he should walk on her.
Right.
Not from his head, that she should rule him. Right. But from his side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, think about that. But it's a whole type of what? Christ and his church. Yeah. And the thing is, what we have trouble doing sometimes, you know, a lot of people like to be saved, but they don't want to make Christ the Lord.
Right.
See, they don't want to call him Lord. Excuse me. But this morning, I want him to be the Lord of my life.
Amen.
I want him to be the one. See, the thing is, if you do that, then... It ain't you making decisions on your own. It's him doing it.
That's right.
It makes it a whole lot easier, see. Then you don't have to bear the blame if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's what you wives are thinking about that. When your husband is making the decisions, then it ain't your fault something goes wrong, right? Now, unto us a child is born, son is given, the government should be on the shoulder. And I'm going to bring out a few things this morning. His name shall be called Wonderful. Well, you know, that is pretty simple. You know what wonderful means? Full of wonder. Don't that make sense? And God, he is wonderful. Remember when he walked on the earth, he done many wondrous things. Well, we know miracle after miracle, blind eyes open, dead raised, you know, death, lepers cleansed. And you know, the thing of it is, he's never quit being wonderful.
Right.
He still does wonders.
Right.
Oh, if I had time to testify of what God has just done for me alone just this past year, when I had a need, I'd seen him supply the need. And he would do it in mysterious ways, in wondrous ways, in ways that I never would have dreamed that it would have been.
Right.
I'll give you one little instance, because I got a bunch of that I can tell you. But here, not long ago, a few months back, and the wife and I and Brother David, we cut out on a Sunday evening. We was going to go and grab a bite to eat. This deer decided that it liked my car. So it jumps out. I went just a block from the house, and I tried to swerve and miss it, but unfortunately, we hit it and didn't hurt the deer. She just kept on going. And then I was all sick because it busted out the headlight of the car and done some damage to it. So I called the insurance company, and they sent an adjuster. I had a $1,000 deductible. Now that doesn't, and the thing is, it didn't work against me. It was a deer. Deer are not considered your fault. You know, they're just considered like an act of God or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, pretty much that's what it is. You never know when one of them's going to jump out in front of you.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I've got a check for the amount of the damage. I mean, they rubbed one right on the spot, except it was $1,000 less. So I needed $1,000 to fix the car. And it needed to fix. The headlights broke, okay? So we rocked on for a few weeks. And I just prayed about, Lord, I know I need $1,000. And there were other things I needed too at the time. And I said, Lord, you know what I need. And you know how God does things? He does things like you would never dream.
Yeah.
A few days later, the wife was hungry. You know, she gets that way. And I drove over to Sonic, I think it was, over to the, and come back to the house and just sat down to eat. And we prayed, and just as we said amen, the awfulest commotion happened outside. Something happened, and this big old loud crack, and all this, and all, and this, and sirens just all over the place, and they weren't going away. I said, "Man, something's wrong here. These sirens, they're right here. They stopped right here." And I looked out the window, and there was a pickup truck had just plowed over one of my trees in my yard. The guy was running from the police. He was drunk. And he lost control around that curb at my house and ran over my crabapple tree. Now, if you know anything about crabapple trees, they don't look like they're worth much. Now, however, that was a point of pleasure for the wife of myself because we got to watch the deer eat the crabapple. But this tree was destroyed. It was... I never thought anything about it being worth anything. I walked out and said, I mean, first off, I was scared to death. They was gathered around this truck, hot, screaming at the guy, "Put up your hand, show your hand." And I thought, well, they're fixing to start shooting. I grabbed her and took her to the bedroom. I mean, you know, because it was right at the end of the house, not far from the end of the house when all this was going on. And as soon as everything calmed down, I went out there, and the cop said to me, he says, "Hey," he said, "what's that tree worth to you?" No, I have no clue. I said, "I can call somebody and find out." Well, we come up with some sort of price, and it was way low when the insurance got done. And I want you to know by the time that the insurance took care of that situation, I was able to fix that car and plus pay some more bills. You know, but that's how God works.
Amen.
Just who would have thought that that was the way it would happen? I want you to understand this morning that the tree was not that big a deal to me. As a matter of fact, I'm glad it's gone. I'm tired of having to drive underneath. It used to knock my hat off and slap me in the face when I drive under it with a lawnmower. I mean, so I was glad it was gone. So it's a mixed blessing to me. Now the deer, I don't get it. They're not in the yard anymore. Well, maybe a good thing. Maybe I won't be hitting them. But you know, I'm just saying that. And I say that, you know, that God, he's wondrous in his words, and you never know how he's going to do that. But he did. His name is wonderful. Then it says his name shall be called what? Counselor. And I thought about that. And you could go, I could think of two ways off the top of my head that I'm going to bring out to you this morning. There may be more ways we could talk about that. But did you know that I went to school and graduated high school, and there was a person on the staff of that high school and of the grade school as well that they had a title of a counselor. And and the main thing you went to them to, at least I did, went in and this is how that I planned my classes and what all, because and she would this but the one school it was a he, another school it was a she, but they would help me in planning my classes, you know, depending on what I would, how I want to pursue my life. Now, you know, if a person you kids, you're growing up, and you maybe you're in school and you've got a counselor and they're looking out for you, so what are your plans? Should we go to college? You want to do this? How you want to do that? You know, and so they will set you up on a particular path to do that. And so that's good. And a counselor is someone then that counsels you when you need help. And so there's no better person to plan out my life than Jesus Christ. That if we could turn to him and let him be our counselor, you got a problem? If a kid's got a problem, you know, you can go to the counselor and talk about it.
Amen.
A personal problem, they'll take that into consideration. They're actually good people to have around.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So So, but so what better counselor is Christ? You got a problem, you don't know which way to turn? Turn to Jesus.
Amen.
Talk to him about it. And if you've got enough relationship with him, he will tell you and lead you and guide you into which way to go. Because he's the counselor. Now, also, do you realize they also call a lawyer a counselor? And what better person is he? Because he also is our counselor in that respect.
Right.
The Bible tells us, did you realize this? The Bible tells us, if a fault or a sin overtake you, we have an advocate. That advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. What is an advocate? Well, he's your lawyer. He's your counselor. He's the one that stands in your stead. As we sang the song this morning, mercy walked in. What happened? The counselor walked in and said, oh, wait a minute. I shed my blood on Calvary. Those things are not on his case anymore.
Right.
And they begin to plead the case. And so, what? You've been set free. What? Now, I want you to know something. What would happen if in your experience you had a situation in your life and you had to get a lawyer? And your lawyer just happened to be your judge. The case is over.
Yeah.
And I know that in our modern situation, if we had the judge would have to recuse himself from the case. But this court I'm talking about, this court belongs to him.
Yeah.
And he don't have to recuse himself.
Right.
So when your lawyer is the judge, what is he? What is his verdict?
Mm-hmm.
Not guilty.
Amen.
But Satan's standing there going, oh, I saw him on certain so time and this day, I saw him do it. God says, well, let me look through here. Let me check this out.
Uh-huh.
He looks and he says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
It's not on my record. Because God had forgotten about it. Because you done put it under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you're struggling this morning with your past, if the devil is constantly bringing that up before you, you just remember that has been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's him that's pulling that up. That is the devil that's doing that to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you sometimes, we have the hardest time. Do you realize that people have the hardest time forgiving themselves?
That's right.
You live your life in the guilt, and I'm telling you, you pray and you ask God to forgive you, and he's done it, but you keep over and over again. Why? Because the thing keeps haunting you. That's a trick of the enemy.
That's right.
If you could ever come to the conclusion that, hey, God has forgiven me, why can't I forgive myself?
Right.
Then you need to. This morning, you need to let that thing die.
Yep.
Because that's under the blood. Leave it there.
Yeah.
He's our counselor. And then we get to the next one, and it says the mighty God. And you know, most Christian people, whatever denomination they are, believe that. Most of them.
Yeah.
So they don't have a problem with that. The mighty God. And we know that God came. And what most people, most denominations call him, is, yeah, he's God, all right. He's the second person in the Godhead. Yeah, we know better than that.
Right.
Which brings us to the next one. And you know, the mighty God, and then the everlasting Father.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to know that right there, that statement right there is a torpedo that will blow a hole in the side of that Trinitarian ship. I'll tell you that right now.
Right. Uh-huh.
Because it says that he, not only is he the mighty God, but he's the everlasting Father.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a story. You might think this is funny, and it is, but and that's fine. But I want you to know that as a child, I grew up in the church over there, the church that Brother David Moore's pastors now. At the time, Brother David's uncle, Henry Darris, was the pastor. Some of you may remember Brother Darris way back in the day. Brother Darris was a fine man of God. We loved him with all our heart. But Brother Darris was illiterate as they come. He could not read. But that didn't stop him from preaching. And what he would do when he preached is at our church, we had a place on the platform with a microphone that was set up, and he would call out the scripture, and he'd have someone read for him. I got the opportunity to do that when I got older. That was I got to read for him while he preached. So that's how come I got to hanging around with the preachers. I don't know, that's, you know, because we'd had to meet at service to see who was preaching, and if it was Brother Darris, I had to stay back there with him and get ready. But nonetheless, that's what he did. And so, well, that being said, Brother Darris went over to this church one time, and he told this story, and it was really funny. He went over and preached for this mostly black folk at this church. And y'all know, have y'all ever been to one of those? They can worship, can't they?
Right.
I mean, as I heard the president of my what little college I went to said, made this statement one time, said it's a good thing God is omnipresent or us white people wouldn't have a chance. That was right after we was in chapel, and this black choir from over in Jonesboro came over and sang for us, and they were phenomenal. Anyway, but that's the way they are. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I think we all have a little dose of that, you know. But as he was preaching, these people just happened to be Trinitarians. And he had the preacher just so happened that the pastor of that church was a woman. And he asked Sister So-and-so to read the scripture for him. And he opened it up to Isaiah 9:6. Brother Darris, boy, he was. I'm talking about bold now. He began to read the scripture. Now, if you've ever noticed, if you've ever watched, and you've been familiar with the way things goes on in these churches, as he began to read the scripture, the people began to back him. And they would sing their amens. And so as he would say, unto us a child is born. Oh, yes. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Oh, yes. Unto us a son is given. This woman's reading this all along. And his government shall be the shortest. Name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, yes. He's so wonderful. Counselor. Oh, he's a counselor. The mighty God. Oh, yes, he's the mighty God. Then he said the everlasting Father, and it went quiet. And all that the lady could say that was reading the scripture was, that's what it's saying. Because that's what it says.
That's right.
And I'm dwelling on this just a little bit. I have a reason for this. I want to just nail this down. The Bible tells us, I believe Isaiah says this in one scripture, it says, behold, I, the Lord, am one God. The Bible also tells us that there's three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. And now, you talk to Trinitarians, they say, well, that means that's because they agree in one. No, that's the blood, the water, and the spirit. They agree in one.
Right.
But that's the agree in one. These are one.
That's right.
That's what the Bible tells us. Well, but I was I was listening the other day, and I heard a very prominent, if I told you his name was, y'all, both of y'all would know him. Probably have heard him on the radio. And the man can come up with some good stuff. Don't get me wrong. But this guy is a doctor of theology. But yet, he could not. He was a Trinitarian. And he got to that scripture and he said, the everlasting Father. And you ought to hurt him trying to explain that away. I've heard some pretty creative ways from Trinitarians to explain that away, but it's all thing and won't hold water.
Right.
And this here, it wasn't even close. He said, well, what that means is he's the Father of time. The Father of time. Well, number one, the Bible says he's the Heavenly Father. It ain't no time in heaven. And furthermore, it didn't say that he was a heavenly father. It said he was the heavenly father. And there ain't but one the heavenly father.
Amen. That's right.
And that's God.
That's right.
Now, I want to tell you something here. I want to be right. Like I said, I want to dwell on this a little bit. I believe that God, that God, just like he did Abraham's day, when he picked up a handful of dust and blew it up and stepped over into it and became a man. He was a man that Elohim was a man insomuch that when he met up with Abraham that day in the tent with his back in the tent with Sarah there, you remember that? He was a man insomuch that he got hungry. He hadn't been on the earth very long, and he got hungry. He actually ate a calf sandwich.
That's right.
Drank milk.
That's right.
But yet he was God.
Yeah.
And Abraham knew he was.
Uh-huh.
That's why he called him Lord.
Yep.
Lot met up with him, he called him Lords.
Right.
Lot, see, Lot was a Trinitarian, see.
Right.
Well, somewhat like that. But because he saw the other angels that were with him and he called them Lords. But Abraham called him Lord.
That's right.
One. But who was that? That was God himself in a human body. So, see, Jesus wasn't the first time God ever walked on the earth in a human body.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was the same thing. The same scenario, sort of like. God created, I want to tell you something. I believe the prophet of God backs this up. God created that egg. That wasn't Sarah's egg.
That's right.
Otherwise, he would be human.
That's right.
Which he was, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? I say it that way, and I don't mean it. I don't exactly how to say that, but I hope you understand what I'm driving at. He wasn't a part of her.
Right.
Now, then God created the seed, mm-hmm. placed them together, and then put them in Sarah's womb.
Yeah.
That's why when he was born, he could be perfect. Because he didn't have the blood of anyone but his own. And the blood that flowed through his veins was the blood of God. He was God. God in the flesh. Really represented the paradox. He said, you know, it's a paradox that the God of all heaven and earth could embody himself in a little baby. And that little baby contained the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah.
Now we can explain that. You know, but the same thing, it's a paradox. It's why he called it a paradox.
Yeah.
But it was still so. That was God. So I'm one of those guys that I don't believe that Jesus existed until he was born. Okay? I'm not seeing a son of Jesus running around in heaven and God tell him, okay, you go and go in that body over there and be in, you know, in that baby and be born. I'm not seeing that. That's why that's how he took on the name Son. Or if you call it a name, it's really not a name. Position Son. He was in the Old Testament, he was Jehovah, God the Father. He became the Son when he stepped over into the body of Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus was God 100%.
Yeah.
He was also 100% man. Go figure that one, huh? Mm-hmm. But he was.
Yeah.
That's why I want to tell you something. You know, we've got a varying range of ages here, kids. I want you to know something. You think that no one has ever gone through what you're going through right now. And your parents for sure don't understand you, right? I used to be a teenager. I know. Okay, I was there. It's been a while, but I was there. But I want you to know that God knows exactly what you're going through because he's been there.
That's right.
He was a little baby. He was a little toddler running around. God was. See, I want you to know that the prophet of God said when that baby cried, Jehovah cried. And, bless their hearts, there was a lady in a church that I pastored somewhere else, and I'm not going to get too specific with it, but I quoted that quote. I mean, I read it straight out of the message, and she went around telling some of the people, our pastor is oneness, as if it was some sort of a disease or something. Well, we know that we're not oneness like you think that people think oneness.
Right.
Because it's not one like a finger. Jesus is not his own father. However, how he became the Son, I just explained that to you. He is fullness of 100% of God. All, as a matter of fact, the prophet of God made this statement, all that was God, he poured into Christ.
That's right.
All that was in God. That means he was all of God.
That's right?
Right? Of course, we go a step further with that and say that all that was in Christ, he poured to the church. By the way, that makes you the whole member body now, not just one, the whole member body, just as much God as Jesus Christ was.
Right. Amen.
The truth. But back to Jesus. Him, Jehovah, I'm talking about being a child, crying in a manger. Jehovah, a child running around. Jehovah, a preteen. Going through things that preteens go through. Jehovah, a teenager. He knows what you're going through. He has been there. He knows everything. He's been through days. Then he was an adult. He's gone through every temptation that you could ever imagine. He was tempted. The only difference is that he didn't sin.
Amen.
He didn't fall to it because he was God. And the Pharisees, they all fussed at him. They took up stones one time to stone him. Why are you stoning me? Because you make yourself God. Boy, they have that backwards. It wasn't a man making himself God. God made himself a man. The everlasting Father. And see, all of them three are one. Now, we as believers, we have no problem correlating the fact that God and the Holy Ghost. See, it wasn't up in heaven, and you got God sitting over here, and Jesus sitting over here, and you got the Holy Ghost over here, kind of, you know, going around, and you know, they want to say that they're all equal, and but you listen to their doctrine and you'll find out that the Father's the boss, so they ain't equal at all. So, well, how could that be? Because everybody knows that Jesus, the Father Jesus, was the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it was. So how could that be separate from the Father? Now go figure. How could that be? Now I'm going to say something. I hope you're not offended by it because it could just a little bit personal, but a little bit graphic. But there was a fellow talking with another brother, and he was talking to me. He said, how in the world can people say that there's just one God? How can that be? And so he's asking, well, who's the Father? Jesus. Well, the Holy Ghost. Well, how could that be? Well, how could that be? The Bible says he's the Father. Well, no, well, the Holy Ghost. Well, the Father told him to. And he made this statement. If I told you to go and be with my wife and she became pregnant, whose baby would it be, yours or mine? See how much sense that makes? Now, the Holy Ghost and the Father is the same one.
That's right.
Well, we've come to that conclusion, and we say he's the mighty God. But, you know, then there becomes, and I'm going to bring out a few things, and I'm not trying to bash doctrine or anything like that, and I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, because I haven't talked all with my brother back there on all these things, but I believe we can agree on things. But it became a deal that some folks got to believe in that, well, Jesus was God, all right, but only for 3.5 years. He was only God for 3.5 years because he's, okay. Well, because in the prophet of God did say that when right before he went to the cross, the Spirit left him. Okay. And he died alone. That's why he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? So I said, well, he was only, well, I got a scripture that says that's not so. You turn to the book of Revelation. We were just reading a quote about it earlier. Revelation 1. And it says this. The 10th verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. John says this, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me. Now the voice just told him, I am Alpha and Omega. Who is that? That's God. I am Alpha and Omega. And I turned to see, and I being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now we know, as believers and scholars of this message, that those seven golden candlesticks represented the seven church ages. Is that right?
Right.
All right. And so what did John see? As we were reading further down, we find out, as he described him, we find out that he described Christ. There he was standing in the middle of those church ages.
Right.
Well, John saw him, and he's still proclaiming that he's Alpha and Omega, that he's still God. And so, well, how do we know that was Jesus? Well, because at the end of it, when John, all he saw that vision, the prophet of God said, no man could stand the pressure of that vision. That's why John fell at his feet as dead. But he said this, in the 17th verse, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Who was it that was dead and is now alive? It was Jesus. So he was sitting there, and that was Jesus there in the middle of the church ages. So he's still God. He said he was Alpha and Omega, standing in the middle of the church ages. He's been God all along. All through these church ages, and he still is. Excuse me if I get a little excited about
that. Right.
But I believe that this morning.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart. He is the everlasting Father.
Amen.
The last one said, what was it? And the Prince of Peace. Now, and you might say, why was it that if he's the Prince of Peace, how come there weren't peace during the time of his, when he was on the earth? Well, it wasn't time yet. Because that wasn't his job right then. But I want you to know that there's going to come a time when he's going to sit on the throne of David. And there's going to be 1,000 years of reign with him in a millennial reign. And I believe that there's going to be peace there. And he is the Prince of Peace. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't have to wait
right.
as the bride of Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
to wait on him to be the Prince of Peace.
Right.
Because to you and me, he is peace right now.
Amen. That's right.
He's peace right now. You and I can have peace, excuse me, no matter what the world says, no matter what's going on in the world. I don't care how many times that Iraq attacks us or Iran and we attack Iran and war is going on. War has been going on all of it for years now. It doesn't matter. Peace. We still have peace.
Amen.
Oh, I remember this. I remember very well September the 11th of 2001, I believe it was. The year that they flew those planes and the tires. Now, some of you probably weren't even born yet, some of you sitting here. But I want you to know, I remember that day very, very distinctly. And I remember the turmoil that was going on in people. I remember I was at work when all this happened. And they began to take it, and someone had taken the TV and put it in the break room. We was watching what was going on when we was on break. And I remember the lady right there by where I worked was going, if she called her son to tell him how much she loved him because she might not see him again because she just knew they was going to bomb us too. All this kind of turmoil going on, people scared to death. And I want you to know, and I don't say this for it, this is not to uplift me by any means, but all I could tell you is this. All I could think of was there was peace in my heart. And I had a peace about it. I wasn't a bit scared. And the thing that run through my mind was this. There is peace. Though the world be raging in the shelter of his arms. And I knew that I was in the shelter of his arms and there was peace. I don't care how much the world raged around us. There's peace. There's peace in the time of trouble.
Yes.
There's peace in the midst of the storm.
Right.
There's peace though the world be raging in the shelter of his arms. If you're in the shelter of his arms, you can have peace. The Prince of Peace reigns in your heart.
Amen.
And he is the Prince of Peace in your heart. One time an art teacher put out an assignment to the students. Draw what your idea of peace is. And when they got it back, they realized and began to look and see what their idea of peace was. So a lot of those students, they drew these flowery meadows, you know, and all and how beautiful they were, how much peace they were. But the one that got the teacher's attention was the one where there was a storm that was raging. The wind was blowing, the rain was falling. And in the cleft of the rock was a little bird singing.
Amen.
And the art teacher said, that's true peace. Amen. When the world's raging all around you, you can still sing.
Amen.
You can stand and sing his praises.
Amen.
No matter what's happening in your life. No matter what turmoil is going on. Because you got peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. This morning, I trust in some way. I just want to bring out these things. I trust in some way they've been an inspiration to you.
Amen.
I want you to know this morning, men, women, children, doesn't matter. You can have that peace this morning. If you don't have that peace this morning, I encourage you this morning to get it. Music players come with every head bowed. You may be here this morning and you may actually have proclaimed that I'm saved. Or you may be sitting here and you still haven't made the Lord your Savior yet. But you may be here, you may be saved, but you haven't made the Lord of your life. But this morning, first off, I want to ask you this as they play something softly. Have you accepted this one that I'm talking about this morning as your Savior? I want you to know you can't get there without that. Well, if Mom and Daddy saved, and yeah, that's all well and good, but are you saved? Have you dedicated your life to the Lord? Have you turned your heart to the Lord this morning? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you just lift up your hands and go, Tim, I want that this morning. I want that this morning. Will you want to lift your hand up? Perhaps you've been saved this morning. But you ain't yet made the Lord of your life. You just want to slip up your hand and say, Bro Tim, I want him to be the Lord of my life. There you go. That's it. God sees those hands. Now this morning, I'm going to pray with you. And right there where you're at this morning, you make him the Lord of your life. I'm not saying you won't ever have problems, but I want to tell you something. You have someone there that can help you along the way. Dear Heavenly Father, you see the hands that were raised. God, we want you as the Lord of our life. Oh, Lord, we don't want just to be saved, but we want you. May it be so with these hands that we raise that we ask in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to sing a song to you that goes right along with what I preached this morning. The song that says, I call him Lord. And the reason why this song is so special to me this morning and why I wanted to do it today, if I can make it through it. Many of you know that not long ago back in March, my baby sister passed away and she would only be the Lord. She was the one that was the rebellious one that went out in the world. But I want you to know God got her back. She died of cancer and she fought that for 2 years. But I want you to know this morning that it was the cancer that drove her to God. And I say, thank God for cancer. Amen. If that's what it takes. Yeah. Because I know where she's at this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
This song that I'm about to sing was her song. I remember I said she was two. She's probably a little older than that when she learned this song. And she used to sing this song in church, and she's just a wee little thing. I call it Lord. She called it, I'm going to sing Master Redeemer. Well, that's all well and good. But I want you to know the reason why I wanted to do this today is today is her birthday. She was born, she would have been 49 if she'd have been here. Born in 1971. And if I could make it through it this morning, I'm going to sing this, and this is to her. Her name was Laura Elaine. She was just about almost 8 years younger than me. She was the baby. Of course, I was the baby boy. She was the baby girl. And because of the age difference, she and I had our little differences when we were growing up. But you know what? After we got grown up, I was Bubby. She was my sister. I used to call her every year on her birthday, even when she was out in the world. I always had to, sometimes I had to get her number because she changed it. But So today I'm not going to get to call her, but I'm going to sing to her this morning. I'll call in the Lord. If we can do it, excuse me. Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, Wonderful Counselor, Bright Morning Star, Lily of the Valley, Provider and Friend. He was yesterday, He'll be tomorrow, the beginning and end. But the angels called Him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called Him Jesus, but I call Him Lord. Jehovah, Messiah, Mighty God and King, Bread of Life, He's the lasting Word of love that's light in darkness, door to heaven, my home in the sky. He's my fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angel called Him Jesus, Lord of the Virgin. Mary called Him Jesus, but I call Him Lord. Oh, the angel called Him Jesus, Lord of a Virgin. Mary called Him Jesus, but I call Him Lord. Amen. Is that what you feel about this morning? You call Him Lord. Amen. You love Him this morning?
Amen.
I appreciate your tenderness. I trust in some way that God somehow spoke to your heart. Just a simple thought this morning.
That's good.
Just think, that little baby that was born in a manger, that day, whatever day it was, was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a concept. What a mystery. It's no wonder Isaiah said, I want you to know something. When Isaiah wrote that, when he said He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, he had no clue. He'd never heard of Trinitarianism. And I want you to know it. Jews didn't believe in three gods, they believed in one.
Right.
And I believe in one. I believe God the Father, Jehovah, in the Old Testament, He walked on this earth, Jesus, and the Son. And then He came back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the Holy Ghost. It was the same God all the time. Thank the Lord. I tell you what, Let's light it up a bit. You know that song, He's God in the Father, He's God in the Son, He's God in the Holy Ghost, all these three are one. Well, He's God in the Father, He's God in the Son, He's God in the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. Well, He's God in the pulpit. He's God in the back door. He's God in the main corner. And He's God all over the floor. I know God is God. And God don't. This morning, He's God with the light of passion. He's God with the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven. And He's God down in my soul. I know God is God. And God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. Well, He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name.
God in the God. He's God in the Son. He's still God in the Holy Ghost. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God.
Physical birth in the church. The little Luke Reed. And Mommy and Daddy are here with him for the first time. This is his first day in church. And so anyway, I was just thinking when the other day when he was born, I was thinking of the Lord when he was born. Christmas time, you know, kind of makes you think of those things. But when I was looking at that little fella, and you know, when he comes into this world, a child born, they're totally, completely helpless. They absolutely have to have someone there. And that's the way our Savior came.
Amen.
And the world's got this idea that when God's going to come, He's going to come roaring out of the heavens, or, you know, like the prophet said, maybe with a big giant spear, just spear all the Romans and sling them over into hell and make Israel be free. But that's not the way He came.
Right.
Amen. You know what? And a lot of times we want to see God come in some great, mighty way. Uh-huh. But you know, sometimes He comes in a still, small voice.
That's right.
And you know what? That's the way we want it. Yeah. We want Him to come the way He chooses.
That's right.
We're not going to try and figure out how to, you know, you know, if He's the one that provides salvation for us, we certainly got to receive it the way He sends it. And that's exactly what we have to do. The world wants to create all kinds of other different ways and different things, but we want Jesus just the way He came. We want
Amen.
Him the way that God sent Him, wrapped up the way He was in that little bitty flesh. But that was our mighty God. That was our Comforter. That was our everlasting Father. It's all in Him, and it's not anywhere else. And I know our local church probably gets tired of hearing me say it, but everything out there in the world will disappoint you.
That's right.
Jesus will not.
Amen.
You know, I've said this before, you know, us brothers that like to hunt, you get your eyes on a new rifle, and it just seems like, you know, you just got to have that new rifle, and maybe the Lord provides you a way to get it, and you use it for a little while, and then the glamour's gone.
Right.
New car, it's gone. A new house, it's gone.
That's right.
Right?
But he's not like that.
Amen.
And so I was thinking earlier, everything in this life is better when you look at it through the eyes of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, you go out and you can look at a beautiful sunset or beautiful whatever, but when you got him on the inside, it's so much better. How many remembers the story that the prophet was telling about the little boy that was wanting to see God?
Right.
And he went to his Sunday school teacher, or went to his mom and dad, or went to the Sunday school teacher. Well, you can't see God. Or he sent him to the preacher, the pastor. Well, you know, you just can't see him. And he winds up going fishing with an old man that's a Christian man, going down the river, and they were in the boat. And I don't want to bore you with the story, but the punchline is so, so sweet, right, to me. He's in that little boat, and he asks the old man, he says, "I want to see God. Can I see God?" And the man had him come over and sit in his lap, and he said, "Son, I've been here all these years," and he said, "all I've been able to see is God."
Amen.
And here's what Brother Ram said about it. He said he had so much of God on the inside,
right,
that he could see him on the outside.
Amen.
And when you've got God in the inside, you can see him outside. You can see him in your brothers and your sisters. You can see him in the sermons that are brought to you. You can see him in the sunset. But without him, you don't see him.
Right.
Amen. Until you repent. Until you repent and give your heart to God, you're not going to see what I'm talking about this morning. But those who have done that know what I'm talking about. Say amen.
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 Right.
Amen. And so I want to give you the hope, because he is our counselor. If you got troubles, he's your counselor.
Yeah.
Amen. He can answer you. And that's right. I was thinking about that. You know, the scripture said he was tempted in all points like as we. Mm-hmm. Right? So it may sound funny, but if you're tempted to get up at midnight and sneak that cookie out of the cookie jar, you know you shouldn't. He was tempted. If you young men was tempted to look at a woman, he was tempted that way.
Right.
You know, and you name it. You can't be tempted in any way but what he knows what it's like. He's been there, and he knows how to overcome it, so he's your counselor.
Yeah.
So if you'll go to him and let him talk to you, he'll tell you how to get past this stuff. But if you won't go to him, you got many, many hard roads ahead of you, see?
Right.
And so what we heard this morning is truth, you know? Just remember, sometimes we preach a simple, sometimes it's simple, sometimes it's deep, but just a simple gospel. The scripture said, don't be beguiled of the simplicity that's in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Because you know what? When it's all over and done with, it don't make a bit of difference what you've gained in this life. You might be rich, you might be famous, you might be talented, whatever. But when it comes to the end of your road, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your soul, then you're in big trouble. And he's the place where the peace is. So we thank the Lord for what God sent us this morning.
Yeah.
We thank Brother Tim for coming down, and Brother David for coming down and being here. And we trust that you'll take the things you heard this morning and ponder on them. Chew on them. You know, it takes a while when you sit down at the table and you eat. It takes many hours, I don't know, but your body processes that. And you go for a long period of time on the strength of what you've eaten. And that's the way it is. You don't see it. You don't see how it happens. You don't see the way it takes place. But trust me, you go for a long time in the energy of what you consumed. And you may not understand what you heard this morning, but I tell you that it is the word of the Lord, and you will go, and it will give you strength spiritually for many days to come. Amen. If you just receive it that way. So may the Lord richly bless you. We'll get a song as we dismiss. Amen. Just remember the prayer request that we had before service there. Terrell Morrell, he's actually doing much, much better. Just keep praying for him, and God's going to make a wonderful testimony out of that brother. And so just remember that. Lila Moore was the one that was here a few weeks ago with her two daughters. She had a fall, broke her arm, and I think part of her tailbone or something like that. And, you know, she's getting on up in the years, so that's a serious matter. Brother John LaFontaine, we all know him. He's a wonderful brother. And we just pray that the Lord would help him recover from the surgery, and he's also got another complication there. I think his kidneys are not working, and so it's going to take God. You know, I bet God's able.
Amen.
So just remember that request, and I don't remember what the last one is, but just Brother David Morris. Just remember that, brother. soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
And they need God to help them once in a while too, you know what? So just remember them as you go and as you're dismissed. Or just keep praying for these requests. Amen. So God bless you. Let's sing.
Forgive.